everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Upstatus podcast. Today on the show, we have Terry Lichtenstein here to celebrate Pulses Week, which happens in February and is all about loving your legumes. It's about encouraging all of you listeners out there to ramp up your legume intake. If you're sitting there already thinking, Steph, what's a pulse? What's a legume? We'll get to that very soon. Terry will help us out with that. But first off, let me introduce Terry to you all. She is an accredited practicing dietitian originating from South Africa and has worked for over 20 years in the area of nutrition communications. She is director of Food Bites, a nutrition consulting business that provides a broad range of strategic nutrition services to the food and health industry. Terry has a special interest in plant-based nutrition and supports the evolving global dietary guidelines that recommend people of all nations eat more plant-based foods for optimal health. Terry sits on the advisory board for Food Frontier and consults for a number of plant-based food companies and industries. Woo! Welcome back, Terry. This is your second time on the show, so thank you so much for being back here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Steph. So good to be back.
Thank you. Now, before we kick off, let's just hear a bit about you. What's been one of your highlights from the past week? It is Friday. We're recording this podcast on a Friday. What's the highlight been this week?
Oh, yeah, it has been a long week, been very busy. But if I'm really brutally honest, I'd say probably the highlight has been the kids finally back at school for a full week, actually giving me time to get some stuff done.
Oh, I bet you that's a lot of parents' highlight of the week, definitely, no matter what age and stage. They're out. So let's get straight into it. Plant proteins, it's a hot topic. It's been a hot topic for a wee while now. So Terry, what do we actually mean when we say plant protein? So what foods are plant proteins, and why is it that we should be eating, and in fact, we should be eating way more of these foods than what we currently do?
Absolutely, Steph. Look, I think, you know, plant proteins are exactly what they say they are. They are proteins derived from plant sources. You know, I think a lot of people know that we should be eating more, but why? Well, there's a fortune of research to show the benefits of plant proteins. They are essential nutrients in our diet, and they play a variety of roles. They assist with, you know, tissue and cell growth, muscle repair, and just maintenance of everything in our human body. Now, what's really interesting is that unlike animal proteins, which also have their own benefits, plant proteins come from a variety of plant-based food sources, which is great because there's so many options that consumers can get these plant proteins. And, you know, all of them provide these health benefits. So whether that's legumes like beans, lentils, chickpeas, and then, of course, nuts and seeds, whole grains, soy products, and, of course, fruit and vegetables. When I talk about the research, I mean, we could talk about this for ages, but, you know, there has been 15 research studies that have specifically found that a Mediterranean diet, which is rich in plant protein, is associated with lower levels and lower risk of inflammation, reduced risk of cardiovascular disease and all-cause mortality. And it also has some benefits in that these studies have shown that this Mediterranean diet actually results in higher levels of self-rated health and quality of life, which is ultimately what we are looking for. And I should also probably mention, when we talk about plant proteins, probably a common one that a lot of people are seeing out there is what is known as alternative proteins, or a better term for it is complementary proteins. So what are these? Complementary proteins is really the umbrella term for all types of plant-based proteins that are designed to replace animal proteins. Now, animal proteins, as I said, certainly have benefits, but complementary proteins is really sort of, we are starting to see more and more of these out there, specifically in foods such as plant-based meat alternatives.
Gotcha. Great explanation. Okay, let's shift out of complementary protein thoughts. Let's go back to the whole food protein thoughts. So it's Pulses Week. That's why we're here celebrating. Legumes, beans, pulses, peas, there's lots of different names, and we don't have to get into the nitty-gritty detail, but what are some of the key differences with these names, Terry, and what do we really need to remember?
Yeah, it can be confusing to try and understand which is which. So just broadly, legumes refers to all types of beans, peas, and lentils, including fresh varieties. Now, pulses refers only to the dried seeds of the legumes. So, for example, a pea pod is a legume, but the pea inside the pod is the pulse. And then beans is an example of a specific type of legume, referring to the seeds within pods. So I'd say probably the easiest term for consumers to remember is legumes, which encompasses everything, and then you get the fresh and the dried components.
Yes, we can think of them as one big happy family, but yeah, maybe it should be called legume week rather than pulse this
Yeah,
week.
perhaps. I'm not sure what I'm not sure what rolls easier off the tongue.
Yeah, true, true. So, like a lot of the plant foods here in Australia and New Zealand, we just don't really come close to hitting the recommendations with our fruit, with our veggies, with our nuts and seeds. Legumes is definitely one of those plant food groups. How are Australians doing when they come to their legume intake each day?
Yes, Steph, you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, legumes also fits into that category of us not eating enough. Australian consumption is well below the recommendation. It's sitting at about 19.3 grams of legumes per day. That's from our latest analysis. Now, the Australian dietary guidelines do have a recommendation for legumes, and currently in the current guidelines, this fits into the vegetable and the protein category. And the actual recommendation is 150 grams as a protein source. So you can see 19.3 is well below that. To put it in practical context for our listeners, so 150 grams is about 1 cup of cooked or canned legumes, or 1 cups of beans or lentils or chickpeas, or 170 grams of tofu. So it's definitely higher than what we're eating. But what's interesting, our listeners might be thinking, oh wow, that's way more than we're currently taking in. You don't that is the ideal, that is the recommendation, but a research study conducted by Grains and Legumes Nutrition Council actually found that just 50 grams, which is about a quarter of a cup of legumes a day, could be beneficial in chronic disease prevention. So it does just really show that point that small steps can have a big difference.
Yes, yeah, that one extra mouthful, whatever it is, has a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that one cup, that's for when it's a protein, it's a replacement. So say you're not having an animal protein in your meal and you're having chickpeas instead. Really, you need to be having one cup of chickpeas.
Exactly. That would be assuming someone is having no other protein sources, which is not what the common Australian is following as a dietary choice. So, even a small amount of legumes would obviously provide those health benefits, and chances are that you might be eating enough from other protein sources.
Right. Okay, so we could be doing a whole lot better with what we're having. I had someone say to me yesterday, I thought this was a great comment, that they feel uninspired to cook their chickpeas that are sitting in their pantry. So I've been posting a little bit on social media about Pulse this week. Like, I'm just uninspired about cooking chickpeas. And then I actually thought about the canned packaging on some of these legume products. And I was like, well, the packaging is a little bit uninspiring as well. You don't look at it and think, oh, I can't wait to crack into this can of chickpeas, whatever it is. It's not all the packaging fault, though. So the reason I eat legumes and the reason you eat legumes, or one of the reasons, is the nutrition and health benefits. So they're jam-packed full of nutrition. And that's what gets me cranking that can open. So let's help our listeners do that, Terry. So, what are the nutrition and health benefits that you see? Maybe your top three or your three favorite benefits, when it comes to legumes.
Oh, there are so many, I know, and I feel sorry for the poor old chickpeas sitting in their uninspiring can, as you say, Steph, because they really do have so much more to tell with their story. So many benefits. I'd say probably my top three. Well, we've already mentioned that they're plant-based protein, but they actually contain higher levels of protein than most other plant foods. When we think of plant foods, we think of fruit and vegetables, which is obviously, great for us, but this is really an excellent source of protein. And with as a subcomponent of the protein, they're rich in amino acids, which helps to support muscle development and repair. So that's probably my number one. And then if I really had to choose some others, I think they a fiber. Fiber is probably my second one. Australians also not eating enough fiber according to our recommendations. And they contain a range of fibers because we do know from the research that it's not just about total fiber, it's about having a broad range of fibers. So legumes contain prebiotic fiber, they contain resistant starch that, has been shown to support gut health. And all these different fibers play a role in lowering cholesterol, helping with bowel movements, and of course, giving us a healthy gut. And then finally, for my third one, I'd say sort of they are jam-packed, they are quite a nutrient powerhouse. They contain B vitamins, which is important for energy. They contain iron, which has so many benefits and helps to reduce fatigue, zinc, calcium, and magnesium, to mention some. So you're really getting a hell of a lot in that one little poor can sitting on the uninspiring shelf.
Yeah, it's like a multivitamin sort of almost as
Absolutely.
well.
So true. And then, oh, sorry, I should say, I know this is a fourth benefit, but
That's
I
all
think
right.
it's quite an important one. Is the cost. I mean, cost of living, as we know, is a huge issue for every single Australian at the moment. Now, legumes are so damn cheap. They really are. I don't think you can find a cheaper protein source. And in fact, I came across an interesting study, which I know you're going to include in the show notes, that actually showed that one meat-free meal per week could actually save up to $40 off your monthly grocery bill, which is pretty big. So I think, yeah, that I would definitely put that up there as one of the benefits.
Yes, yeah, definitely the cost is well up there. The fibers, I think you're right. People think of fiber and that's all. There are a whole bunch of different fibers out there, and these great legumes do contain these prebiotic and their resistant starch, which are what your gut bugs love to eat. So that's definitely one that a great benefit there. And then the blood sugar control, obviously, as well, that's a great one.
Absolutely.
So that's really good for weight management. Obviously, when our blood sugar, we're feeling fuller for longer, it's a low GI food, fuller for longer, better blood sugar control, and that can help with our weight loss. And then, yeah, gluten free as well. So these, they're gluten free. So that's just really good for the
Yes.
celiacs out there to know that they're,
Absolutely. And even those without celiac disease who are choosing to, have gluten-free products, it's beneficial.
yeah, yes, definitely. Fantastic. So that's the nutrition and health. That is the cost. And then you've touched on environmental somewhat. Is there anything else you'd be keen to say around the environmental benefits aspect, Terry, when it comes to legumes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, environmental and sustainability benefits is critical in our current and hopefully future dietary guidelines. So again, just to talk about some studies and the results that we do know. So people that do move towards a plant-based diet, there is actually the potential to reduce diet-related land use by up to 76%. And diet-related greenhouse gas emissions by 49%, which is pretty significant. We do, as we know, obviously we want to eat a whole lot of plant foods, but compared to other crops, pulses actually require less water to grow. So again, another environmental benefit of eating more legumes.
Yes, great. Okay, so there are some of the benefits, guys. Great benefits. You're probably sitting there now thinking, okay, cool, got the benefit. Now, how do I actually use these in the kitchen? So you've grown up learning how to cook beef and chicken and fish and veggies and cutting up fruit. And now you can just chuck brown rice in the microwave and not even boil it on the stovetop. Legumes, people don't know as much with how to actually use legumes. Terry, this is the question on everyone's lips, of course. So, what do you have for us? How can we add more legumes to our diet?
Yes, I know, Steph. Sometimes I'm in standing in the legume aisle in the supermarket. I just see everyone walk past, and I feel like stopping them. Go, no, you're missing out on one of the best food sources. And I think you're right. I think it's probably that they just don't think about it, or if they do think about it, they think, oh, I don't know what to do, and it's just too hard. And the reality is, it's actually one of the easiest foods. And I can promise all your listeners, they can come back to me and tell me if I'm wrong. But once they start using it, they will absolutely find this, no matter what your level of cooking skills. My husband is not very good in the kitchen, and he even he could cook legumes. So if he can do it, then anyone else can.
Yes, and then
But
$1, literally $1.
exactly. And don't be put off by the uninspiring packaging, you know, as you mentioned. But look, I mean, there are so many ways. Just to mention a few. I mean, I would say probably start off with the canned. You do get canned and dried, but canned is literally obviously just opening that can. Try go for a reduced salt version if you can, but if not, just rinse it. You know, that's the best way to go. But don't discount the dried ones. The dried ones are also very cost effective. And it is literally, when I use dried ones, I don't even measure. I just pour them into, I rinse them, I put them into a bowl, I just cover it with water, and I just leave it overnight. So it takes me less than 30 seconds to set that up, and then they're ready sort of to go the next morning. But whether you're using canned or the dried, I'd just start with basic, you know, just rather think of adding it to your meal that you're already making rather than just having to come up with something totally new. So whether that's, you know, adding it to a salad or just you know, mashing up some canned chickpeas with a fork and, you know, putting it on your sandwich. I mean, remember there's many existing products such as hummus. You know, you can buy hummus from the supermarket or you know, or a pea, a dip or something. So that's also another great source of a legume. When you are using legumes, be adventurous with your flavors and spices because you can't go wrong. There's many recipes out there on Google for roasted chickpeas in the oven. That is a great snack. My other tip that I would say that I've been doing over the past few years, you now get great varieties of flavored small cans of legumes. Yeah, these are excellent. I mean, they're great for kids' lunch boxes. You know, they if you work in an office, keep some in your desktop drawer. You know, just a little snack. They're versatile. You can find a flavor that you like. They travel well, easy to open. Yeah, you know, you could probably, even if you didn't have a fork, you could probably just, you know, eat them with your hand if you really needed to.
And they've got nice, colourful packaging actually as
Yes,
well.
they absolutely do. They absolutely do. In fact, I think I might go off this podcast, go and have one. I've got a few on my pantry shelf. So those are probably, I'd say, the easiest ways to sort of just start off. And then, you know, think about the, you know, what I was saying about what foods you're already cooking, right? Probably many of your listeners have a bolognese on their weekly menu repertoire. So simply replace half your mince with lentils. Not only will it save you money, because it is cheaper, but it's a great way to incorporate that. And I will tell you, I always do the kid taste test at home, and I've sometimes made that before and haven't mentioned it to my kids on purpose, and they haven't picked it up. So you know, it's probably not going to change the flavor significantly. But even other sort of everyday meals, whether it's tacos and you add in some kidney beans, or you're making a curry and you add in some chickpeas. And of course, at the moment we're in summer, but once winter season starts and you're making soups, just add in a can of butter beans. And lastly, you know, once you've got your head around using our uninspiring cans, make sure that you also check out some of the other legume products on the supermarket. So there's a range of pulse pastas now that are high in fiber. So you could give those a go. And even looking at some of the legume flours, such as chickpea flour, you know, that you could use in a batter, or if you're making up some fritters, or even for baking. So I know that is quite a long list, and I could probably go on with even more. But I know there will also be a link to Grains and Legumes Nutrition Council have a fabulous ebook called Love Your Legumes, which has a range of recipes. So those of you that are very keen on following an actual recipe, definitely go and check it out, because there's some great ideas there.
Yes, definitely download that. That will be in the show notes as well. Those small cans of legumes, I think, are absolute game changers because you're right, they've made them flavoursome. So the flavour's already there. You can eat them on their own. You can even just add them to your salads because that then gives the legume and gives a bit more flavour to your salad as well. And then if you're sitting there thinking, Terry, my kids, I know they're just going to know about those lentils in the spag bowl. You can actually blitz, you could even blitz the lentils and then put it
Absolutely.
through the mint sauce.
Yeah, similar to a typical hidden vegetable bolognese. You can hide the lentils as well.
Exactly. If I feel like with nachos, people add the chili beans, right? It's like
Yeah.
try with spag bowl if we could just
Yep.
nap like it always just is lentils to spag bowl. I think is a great one. And then I've also had a couple of people reach out to me as I've been posting things on Instagram. One person said, I have found a new obsession and new love for cannellini beans straight out of the can and into a salad. So underrated, they have a weirdly good creamy taste. So that was someone from New Zealand. And then another Kiwi, butter beans or any white bean into zucchini fritters. So you squish them a bit before they go in, and then makes it nice, crisp, nice and crispy and yummy. Or like you said, you could use a chickpea flour in that too.
I love that idea. And it made me just think you could probably add them also into a zucchini slice.
Yes, yes, yeah. So many options.
And of course, one thing we haven't mentioned is dessert recipes. I mean, black bean brownies, you know, there's loads of those sort of recipes on Google as well.
Yes, exactly. Just to help up the fiber and protein of your brownie. Boom, there you go. This might be a lot. So, for a newbie sitting there who's just figured out what a leguminous pulse is, this could be a lot, right? So, if we had to go for number one way to get someone started on their legume journey, what would you tell them, Terry? We could go for someone that just cooks for themselves, say, and their partner, and then potentially someone who has a family and wants to cook for their family. What would be two ways you think, just absolute easiest way to start?
Well, I think definitely if it's someone who's, say, just cooking for themselves or just a couple of people, as you mentioned, Steph, those flavored cans of legumes are so great because, they're small, so they're an individual portion size. So, you know, if you try one flavor and it's not your sort of flavor profile, you know, perhaps give it to your partner, as you say. It's not a huge, you know, you're not opening a giant can of legumes. And that are just so easy, and there's so many options and variety because we do know, you know, as dietitians, flavor and taste is number one priority. It's, you know, it is up there absolutely with the same level as health is prioritized. So I would say if you start with one of those that has a bit of flavor, you're probably more inclined then to try something else. So that would be my number one tip for someone who's cooking for themselves. For a family, I would say probably even, you know, look at your family meals that you're already making. And incorporate ways. So you're not changing anything for the kids, you're not putting them off, you know, you're not making them try any scary legumes that they, you know, that they turn their nose up. So as we said, you know, sort of adding those lentils, adding chickpeas to your existing curry. And remember, even using, I mean, my kids have a lot of hummus as a spread on their school wraps or their school sandwiches. So incorporating some of those legume-based dips, you know, if you know, they might be having some corn chips with a bit of a dip. So that would be my number one tip as a first go.
Oh, great. Two excellent ones there. Thank you, Terry. Now I've got one more question to go. This is about the Australian Dietary Guidelines. So they are currently under review. And just really quickly, for those that have no idea about the Dietary Guidelines, they are set up by the government and they're the leading public health resource in the country. New Zealand has their own set, Australia has their own set, different countries have their own dietary guidelines. With the current Australian update, Terry, where do you think the, let's go plant protein, so just plant proteins, whole plant proteins, how do you think they should be positioned? And then also, where do you think the alternative or complementary proteins, how should they be positioned, or where would you suggest they come into the dietary guidelines?
This is the million-dollar question, Steph, that everyone's asking and wants to know with eagerness. Look, I do believe that plant proteins are going to be prioritized. You know, in our guidelines, we know they already prioritize in international guidelines, and there's a fortune of high-level research to show their benefits for personal and planetary health. Interesting, and you might have seen this just over the last week or so. There has been some communication from the National Health and Medical Research Council, who's obviously reviewing the dietary guidelines, to say that sustainability is going to be a priority in these guidelines. So I guess with these legumes and plant-based whole food proteins, we know they are very sustainable. You know, they play a great role in sustainable diets, as they're accessible, affordable, have low environmental impacts, as we've discussed. So I imagine that given this is a priority area for the guideline review, I do expect to see sort of, you know, a high priority given to these proteins. Where will the complementary proteins play a role? Look, to be honest, that I'm a bit less sure of. I'm also very eager to see. I think, again, with the dietary guidelines, it's not just going to be, you know, what is in our current guidelines, that it's just a broad umbrella for all protein. You know, I think that the NHMRC and the Dietary Guideline Review Committee will address this because obviously the area of complementary proteins is growing, and we're seeing more and more products out there. So there does need to be a guideline for stakeholders and for professionals and for consumers to work out, you know, where they play a role in their diet. Perhaps it might be that, you know, that they are positioned with guidelines about what factors to look for when choosing alternative proteins. So to choose those that are higher in fiber, to choose those that are lower in sodium, low in saturated fat. I think perhaps there might be a more sort of, you know, it might be a more of a guideline around what factors to consider if one is going to have these in their diet, even if it is occasionally. So that's sort of my sort of gut feel at the moment. But I mean, I think, you know, without a doubt, we do know that the plant proteins are definitely going to be a core part of the revised dietary guidelines.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Terry. Great response. That is all. So thank you so much for being here with us today, Terry. Thanks for all the work you do in the community. You're out there improving the health of all Australians. So that's just absolutely amazing in my eyes. So for you all listening, it's now about action. Get your grocery list out. Write down a legume from today, lentils, whatever it is, canned lentils. Download the GLNC recipe ebook and get some inspiration there or give one a go. You may even see a couple of Upstatus recipes in there as well. And share this podcast with someone who is working on their nutrition and health. Legumes are very underrated. They're an underrated food, and at the end of the day, they will help someone reach their nutrition and health goals. So they need to be hearing about legumes, and this is a great podcast to get started on that. So Pulse this week, get involved, get out there, get cooking. Thanks for being here, and a big thanks again to Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steph.